It's time now for the Kill the Can podcast.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Kill the Can podcast. Just a quick intro here this morning. As I believe I alluded to on a previous episode of the podcast, this episode is actually a conversation that I had with Duathman, also known as Travis, for his podcast. The name of his podcast is Health Transformation with Travis. This was a conversation that we recorded about a week or 10 days ago. He actually put it out on his podcast feed. I believe it was episode number 3 of his podcast. And he has graciously given me permission to kind of post it here on the Kill the Can feed as well. I hope you enjoy it. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to his podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your podcast. Again, it's called Health Transformation with Travis. And this is a conversation we have. Hope you enjoy it. Talk to you soon.
There we go. All right.
There you go.
Chewy.
How you doing, man?
Good, good. I can't believe we hadn't met yet, but we'll kind of go into that in a little bit. So I'm thanks for joining us. One thing I want to kind of do this podcast about, and that's kind of, I guess, self-improvement. And one thing that impacted my life more than any was my ability to white knuckle it, quit smokeless tobacco or chewing tobacco or whatever you want to call it. And that mainly impacts a lot of guys, mostly guys. There are a couple of girls, and we'll kind of talk about that too. But how did you are kind of like the godfather of KTC, in my opinion. And I don't know if that's the right term to use, but you were the genesis of how this website started. Kind of go into your situation. I'm sure you didn't say, you know what, I'm going to create a website kind of like AA for dippers. And why, like, how bad was your dipping to say, hey, I'm going to go and do this great venture of creating
KillTheCan.org? Sure. Yeah. So I quit back in July of 2006. I'm coming up on this July to be 18 years. And like, I would imagine like many people out there, I was looking for information. I was looking for help. I was looking, you know, I was kind of feeling lost and didn't know where to turn. And so I went to the internet and I Googled, you know, quit dipping or something like that. And there was very few resources out there. There was one that I ran across. And so I actually there was an organization. It was called Quit Smokeless at the time, quitsmokeless.org. I don't even know if it's still around, if I'm being honest. And so I actually quit through that organization when I first quit. So this was back in July of 2006. And to make a very, very long story short, there was a group of us that didn't particularly care for the way that organization was being run. And, you know, just, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And so we decided to start our own version of it. Right. And that own version through many machinations became killthecan.org. So when we first kind of made that decision, which was in November of 2006, we created our own web forum at the time. It was on a free forum. So on envisionfree.com, which is a company that doesn't exist anymore. And we learned very quickly that some random forum on the internet, you know, 12346.envisionfree.com, nobody's going to find, right? And so I've got a background in website development and digital marketing. And so I built killthecan.org, the domain name, the website. Originally, when I built it to funnel traffic to that forum, to that Envision Free forum. That was the entire purpose, so that when somebody would Google quit dipping, they would find us. That obviously has grown quite a bit over the last 18 years. Technology has changed. You know, what we use as our forums have changed. The fact that social media didn't exist back then has changed. The fact that, you know, when I first quit, it was, you know, people wouldn't even really text much because there was a cost associated with every text that you sent, right? This was back when, you know, calling on a cell phone wasn't even free until after 9 p.m., you know, like that kind of thing, right? So, but what has stayed remarkably consistent through the years is the idea of one day at a time and the idea of the brotherhood and the accountability that exists to this day at Kill the Can, probably even more so than it ever did. Again, it has changed and it's a very different, I'll call it organization. It's a very different organization today than it was even 3 or 4 years ago, certainly than it was back when I quit in the 2006. But there's those couple of very specific tenets that continue to this day. And I think that's what kind of sets us apart as, you know, if you really want to get quit, we've got the tools to help you get quit. You just kind of have to follow that program, and it's remarkably successful if you actually stick with it.
Fantastic. Yeah, that's a great history of it. And so have you tried to quit in the past on your own? Like I said, I mean, you stopped in 2006.
Yep.
Was there Chewy back in 2005, 2004? I mean, you're like, something.
Yeah, like I think many people, yes, I quote unquote tried to quit or attempted to quit. And, you know, that, like many people, that would last, you know, all of a day or two, right? It was like, oh, I'm done quitting. You know, when this can is done, I'm done, right? And then, you know, 2 days later or when the withdrawals would kick in, I'd go and buy another can, right? So I started dipping. The first time I ever had a dip was the first football game of my freshman year in high school. So I was probably 13 or 14 years old. In fact, ironically enough, my son went to that same high school that I went to for his freshman year. It was an all guys school at the time when I went there. And so I, when he was a freshman, I went back to that exact same stadium and I sat in that exact same seat. I remember it like it was yesterday from when I had my very first dip. And it was a wintergreen Skull Bandit was the first time I ever had nicotine. And it was given to me by a guy named Mike. And the ironic thing is that guy probably 15 or 20 years later actually ended up joining Kill the Can and quit. And he had no idea like that there was this connection or anything like that. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of a very cool, you know, kind of cool full circle moment. But to answer your question, yeah, I tried a bunch of times. I can remember buying a can of fake dip and putting, you know, mixing, you know, 75%, 25% real versus fake, and then 50-50, and, you know, and I just could never get over that hump, right? I could never actually go nicotine free. I can honestly say, though, the first time or the last time that I really quit with this mentality where of the one day at a time, I'm not going to try to quit forever. I'm quitting today and I'll deal with tomorrow when I get there. That was the last time I quit. And it was really everything else prior to that was just kind of a feeble attempt. It wasn't really a quit.
There you go. Yeah. My background real quick. I started in 1994.
Okay.
And it was back in high school. Like, I didn't check up until probably 2000 or around your time, maybe 2006 when you quit. I probably just for a challenge decided I'm gonna quit for a month and see what happens. And man, when that month went up, I was right back to it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that was just a challenge and I succeeded and bam, I'm back. And, you know, it wasn't until probably 2011 is when I joined Kill the Can. Finally,
okay.
That's a good 17 years later. And yeah, so I had no idea what I was doing. Went to this, I did like, I guess like everybody else, Google how to quit tobacco, smokeless tobacco, yep. And came upon the website. And I didn't get the whole brotherhood accountability from the start. And that's something I'll talk in a minute about how that changed. But when I started, I was like, okay, what do I do? Okay, I want to quit. You know, we're all, our brains are frazzled when we're trying to quit. And it was like, okay, what's this month? Like, I got to join a month. Who are these random people? I got to create a name first off. I'm Travis Johnson. I'm not going to post I'm Travis Johnson. So I created a name. It's Duathman. That's my name because I like doing duathlons at the time, which is run, bike, and run. So I'm a Duathman. And for 3,914 days later, I'm still Duathman on Kill the Can. Even, you know, like Chewy mentioned, one day at a time. So how did you come up, or I guess this experiment of Hall of Fame, 100 days, this idea of if we can just get through 100 days, you know, that's kind of, I won't say in the clear, but where did this milestone come from?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We've talked about that a lot over the years. And when I say we, so Kill the Can, let me take one more step back here. I mentioned that we didn't like the organization that we kind of broke away from. We didn't like the way it was being run. One of the things that we didn't like was that it was one person that was running that group. And so at Kill the Can, we have always, since day one, we have always had a group of seven admins that kind of administer the site and run the site and make decisions and those kind of things. So when I say we, that's kind of who I'm referring to. We've talked over the years about, you know, what does the Hall of Fame make sense? Does 100 days, should it be a year? Should it be 1,000 days, those kind of things. And I think ultimately, it's a nice round number, right? It's easy to wrap your head around. It's roughly 3.5 months. It's not, I think a year, I think the number probably should be more around a year if I'm looking back on it now. But I think a year is a lot, right? It's a lot to wrap your head around. Oh my God, I'm going to quit for a year before this big first milestone, right? 100 days, like I said, it's roughly 3.5 months. It's close enough that it's actually, it feels like it's attainable even in those first couple days. You know, a year just, it seems like really, really far out there. You know, the other thing is, and it is, you know, we have written this, an article on the site called, you know, What to Expect When You Quit Dipping. And that is effectively a timeline of your first 100 days. And it is remarkably accurate. And it's really accurate because of how much input we've gotten into that over the years. You know, I mean, if you figure if Kill the Can is roughly 17 or 18 years old at this point, I mean, we've got thousands and thousands of quitters that have kind of like their quit wisdom, you know, the wisdom of the mob, so to speak, has kind of developed that. And the other thing is, to your point, there's a lot of people that will quit for a month at a time, or in our case, 100 days at a time, just to see if they can do it, right? To challenge themselves. And so there's just a lot of data that kind of goes into that particular number. And I think the honest answer though, is it's just a nice round number that is attainable from day one. I'm firmly of the opinion that if we set the Hall of Fame at a year or 1,000 days, we would have many fewer people get there than we do today.
Absolutely. For sure. And when I started back in 2011, when we talk about posting role, just for those people that are listening that are not on the website, that are not dippers, what we're talking about posting role, it's one day at a time. We post, you know, today I will not use, and that's day one. And you start on day one and you basically post within your month that you'll hit your 100 day target. That's your quit month, essentially, your Hall of Fame month. And in 2011, I went 100 days and I would go every morning, wake up, post day one, day two, day three. Yeah. And I would log in, post up, and then log off. And I went 100 days and March, I think it was of 2012, it was my Hall of Fame month. And I did not log back on to post my 101 day. Or my 102 days.
Really?
I was done.
Really?
Yeah. I made it to 100. That was the
right.
Hall of Fame. That was the big thing. Everybody was doing their speeches afterwards, like, oh, thank you. You know, all these people. I'm like, man, I just did 100 days. I'm good. And okay. So I checked off and I think went to maybe in real time, maybe 170 days before I fired it right back up. I didn't even think about it. I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I had nobody. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, did you, so at that 170 day mark or 60 or whatever it was, did you like make a conscious decision of, you know, screw it, I'm done, I'm going back? Or was it like, were you at an event or were you presented with somebody, hey man, you want to like, did you go out of your way to find it at that point? Or was it just kind
was a weak moment by myself. Probably some alcohol was involved in it and just had a lapse of judgment. And you know what? I had kind of been planning to start back again anyway. Okay. And it was, I enjoyed the 100 days and being free or the 170 days. But you know what? There was something about the tobacco that just was calling me. And I'm like, you know what?
Sure.
We're back. And so I actually got re-quit again. So that was a stop in 2011. So yep. Now we are in 2013 when I quit, June 5th, 2013. And my why moment, which everybody has in anything, like, why are you quitting?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the threshold that was finally broken? And it was the punch in the gut that I literally have receding gum lines. The dentist never said one word about it, you know. And I realized that my kids were young at the time. And I was dipping. I'm a ninja dipper, as what we call it. Okay. On the site. I would go to the bathroom, spend an hour, take a 30-minute shower, you know, much longer than it should, spend time outside walking around so nobody would see what I'm doing. And I definitely didn't want my kids to see that. And my wife had no idea how much I was actually doing at the time either. And it's just like, you know what? This has got to end or else I'm going to be dead with a dip in my mouth. Not dead from dying from dip, but just let's say I die with an old age, I'm still going to have a dip in my mouth.
Right.
You know, so that's why I quit on June 5th, 2013. And when I walked back in there and posted that day one, when I posted day one on June 5th, 2013, I could not believe the bloodletting that transpired when I was like, do I have man day one, blah, blah, blah. And it was like literally millions of messages in my inbox. Get your ass back on this site. Tell us what happened, when it happened, what are you going to do differently? And I'm like, who are you? Like, where were you when I was dipping all this time to get my butt back on the site? And now all of a sudden you're vested in my quit. Like, this was insane. And it was from that point on, like, accountability. Like, who am I accountable to? I was just accountable to myself before. Now I've got this guy that wants to know my answers, right? So here I am spilling my guts to this guy, whoever this keyboard warrior is.
Yep.
Now I'm invested in this. So it just went from there.
So I guess two questions for you. First, let me back up. You mentioned something. I don't think we touched on it. You mentioned the months that you joined, right? The reason that we do that is we're putting people, we refer to them as Hall of Fame classes, but the idea is we put you in based on when you're going to hit that 100-day Hall of Fame. That's kind of your home group, right? And the idea is you're talking with people that are roughly at the same stage of their quit as you are. So that's the logic behind that. You know, it's one thing for me right now to talk to somebody who's, you know, on day one or two, but they're going to look at me and go, you've been quit for so long. Like, what do you have to offer? Versus if there's somebody that's on day like six or seven, they can be like, oh shit, like this guy just dealt with this the other day, you know, and there's a little bit more weight that comes with that. So you mentioned that like a bunch of people reached out to you. Were they people that were in your previous group or were they people that you didn't know?
No. The few months that are like when you log in day one, whatever, you're 100 days out, but then you also have months before you that are going to reach that 100 day mark. And there's a lot of veterans that scour those boards looking for day oneers, especially if they had their post count maybe 200 and they're posting a day one. Like, then they're like, oh boy, we're going to jump. We got one here. We got one. And that's, that just blew me away. And when I man, you would think I would know the one that was so bad to me, or so whatever. But that ended, I say bad now, but it was so right. good at the time. I needed it. I needed that kick in the butt. And I don't know about you, but I went through from having in 2011 to 2012, basically maybe one phone number in my phone. I just checked. I have 49 phone numbers from Kill the Can.
Do you really? That's awesome.
I have 49.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I've met 14 of them personally from the website. Now, these are not in my month. I've met, I'm thinking, some new ones after me and obviously some veterans before me. I'm originally from Birmingham, and that's like a hotbed for smokeless tobacco quitters. It seems like there's a lot of them. And I can tell you right off, I mean, one of them was a lawyer that I've used. One of them is an insurance agent that I bought insurance from. And I mean, there's two of them in my phone have passed away. I've talked to most of them personally, especially during my quit. We would use GroupMe, or there's a Kicks, I think it's another one, like a group messaging app. And that, like, one of the guys that's already passed away, I remember talking to him. He ran an ambulance up in North Dakota. Tron Magnet was his name.
Yeah.
And just like how he was quitting. I think he was maybe a few months before me, but he was all over the place, scatterbrained too. And how you're, you know, trying to stay quit while dealing with, you know, an ambulance chasing around. And here I am doing what I'm doing and like living through him, but we're all living together. We're all in this together. And like you say, in that month, you're all kind of going through the same thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you've had, I just looked, so I've met 122 quitters that, and it's been a while since I've updated that. So it's probably, you know, obviously the pandemic cut way back on quitter meets and those kind of things, but I've probably met 130 or 140 quitters throughout the years. I wouldn't even have a guess on how many phone numbers I've got. But to your point, I mean, that's that brotherhood and that accountability. It's amazing what it will do when it's no longer a screen name, right, on a random web forum or on Discord or wherever it is. And it's, you know, you're getting a text from somebody that you know who it is, or you're getting a phone call. And then God forbid, when you meet them face to face, I've never gone back and done this, but I would like to go. So on the website, there's a section of the site, Brotherhood, and it's like all of the photos and stories of quitter meets. And I've never done it, but I would like to go and look at all those people that are in those pictures, in those meets, to see the percentage of people that are still quit. I would bet you it is astronomically high, the people that are still quit. And again, I firmly believe that once you make that connection, whether it's one person or another 20 or 50, once you're meeting somebody, putting a name to a face, breaking bread, having a, you know, whatever it is, right? It just really does kind of take your quit to that next level. I'm a huge, huge proponent of getting together with fellow quitters.
There you go. Absolutely. So one thing that helped me out a lot, and we talk about rewiring of the brain. Mm-hmm. Like everybody on the site will say, well, you've screwed up your brain. It's time to rewire the brain. And I think when I came to realize, well, I need to rewire my brain, clearly I got something going. Education has a lot to do with that. And understanding who's making this product that I have to go spend $4 a day and go to the store and buy over and over every single day over again. And I mean, anybody with an addiction, whatever it is, who are these people that create Skoll, create Copenhagen? Well, it's Philip Morris, right? So, I mean, that's U.S. Tobacco, owned by Philip Morris. It's the same company that makes Marlboros or whatever. These have scientists in labs that are creating these products that light up my brain. And I mean, so I'm having to rewire my brain. I'm having to suck it up, beat my head against the wall, tell myself, I've got to change. Like, this is not sustainable. And it was breaking away from basically the crux of my addiction, you know, that desire. I don't know what it was that made me go do that for 19 years to chew tobacco. I don't know what it was, but clearly the scientists at these labs that created this product did a damn good job of convincing me that it helped me relax, right? You deserve it. You had a hard day. I mean, all these lies that we were told is somehow in this product that lit my brain up and convinced myself that that was the case.
Yeah, it is, you know, the older I get, I won't say wiser, the older I get and the more cynical I become, right? Honestly, the angrier that I get at the big tobaccos of the world, right? And that's not to say that I'm absolved of any wrongdoing here, because I'm not. I made those choices. I'm an adult, or I was a 14, you know, whatever it was, I made the choice. And I, so, you know, we're all about accountability. I made those choices, right? But to your point, the Philip Morrises of the world, they're taking an already addictive substance in tobacco, right? And they are, I would argue, doing everything in their power to make it more, even more addictive, you know, through the use of other chemicals, through the use of flavors and this, that, and the other thing. And as I sit here now as a 47-year-old who's been quit for a long time, I get genuinely angry at that. And I understand that makes me sound like the, you know, old man yelling at sky thing. I get that. But it's just, you know, with the fact that I've got three boys, two of which are teenagers, that I know have been already are dealing with this stuff, right? Whether it's through peer pressure or they've been offered it, whether it's smokeless or vaping or cigarettes or cigars or those kind of things. And I just always impress on them, hey, like, look at what your dad did. Look at how long and how hard he had to fight to get away from these products. You know, choose wisely, right? I guess is the message that I try to send. And again, it's like, at this point, it's not the I'm better than you, right? It's I've made those mistakes and I don't want you to make the same kind of mistakes, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I started in 1994. If it was 1964, I'd probably be smoking, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So the tobacco companies, when all their litigation started with the government, they started pushing smokeless tobacco, especially to young boys. Like, don't smoke, use smokeless tobacco. Get the same gratification, but without all the secondhand smoke. And hey, it's fine. You'll be fine.
Right.
And it was like, holy cow. Like, what? I don't understand what they were doing. So I started looking up, you know, U.S. Tobacco, Philip Morris, Altria, and then you got R.J. Reynolds, which is another tobacco company. That's like your Newports, your Cools, your Camels, things like that. And realizing that this podcast is called Health Transformation with Travis. And these companies went from cigarettes to smokeless tobacco, selling with the government. So in 1998, they finally settled. But guess what they were doing in the 1980s? Investing in food companies. This is where Kraft comes from. This is where Nabisco comes from. The major food companies. And guess who was making the foods that was going on these the shop markets was created by the scientists that were creating cigarettes and smokeless tobacco to make us addicted. Now they're making food. It's the same company. The exact same scientist. And so when we're addicted to one substance, especially when you're addicted to smokeless tobacco, you quit. I know I quit. And guess what I did? I picked up a Coca-Cola every single day. So I was my reward, but I traded one addiction to another for another. But I figured I could lose weight. I can't lose cancer. So I can lose the weight of, you know, drinking Cokes. So luckily on the forum, there is a quit soda forum, because we all know we're all going to be addicted to something. If we're going to quit smokeless tobacco, what are we going to be addicted to? And I had to quit sodas. There's a quit alcohol section of the forum. There's a reduce alcohol section of the forum.
Basically, whatever you want to, I guess, get addicted to, the killthecan.org has a spot for you, I guess, to quit.
Yeah, you know, and those other kind of subgroups, sub forums, sub threads have were born out of necessity, right? They were born out of the, to your point, we nicotine addicts by our nature have addictive personalities, right? We just do. And I think you're right. There's a lot of I think there's a lot of nefarious people involved in not only big tobacco, but I'll use the big food, right? You know, and processed food and those. And you and I have had conversations about weight and weight loss and those kind of things. And I think you're right. Like I'm the same way. I joined that no soda group, and today's 3,699 days since I've had a soda, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you know, at the time I was drinking, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 Diet Cokes a day. Right. And in my mind, I was like, oh, it's Diet Coke. It's not bad for me. There's no carbs. It's no sugar. It's, you know, yeah. Well, there's all sorts of other garbage in there too. But yeah, it's scary. It's really scary because until you understand not only what's going on, but the players involved, right? Until you understand that the crafts of the world are a lot of the same people that were with big tobacco. And that anger that I had towards big tobacco is starting again, especially as I get older, is starting to seep towards some other areas of life as well. I know I sound like a grumpy old man, but it's, I don't know. I feel like I'm finally starting to wake up to kind of all of these systems around us, and it's really disconcerting.
Yeah. I mean, I know that, like I said, people listen to this probably aren't all ex-tobacco users. And what happens when you quit like caffeine or quit? I'm not saying caffeine's bad. I drink coffee, so I drink a copious amounts of it. So I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Quit sugar. Kind of the same. There is a withdrawal. And just that withdrawal from quitting smokeless tobacco, I mean, just it takes everything you have to get through those first, 3 days? It's like that. The nicotine is coursing through your body for 3 days. And guess what happens after that day three? It's out.
Right.
After that point, it's all mental.
Yes.
It's all you. There's no chemical running through your body that has.
Yeah.
I was like, that is insane. Once you realize that, that's like,
right.
It's up to me. I've got to make this decision to do it.
Yeah. And I think, and that right there is the, you mentioned something earlier that really kind of struck a chord with me, and it's something that I really would like to get back to. So you talk about the education piece. When I built Kill the Can way back in the day, I was building, again, I mentioned I was building the site to effectively funnel people to the forums or to that accountability, but I was also building the site that I wish would have been out there when I quit. When I Googled it, I wish there was something out there, right? And I tried to, at the time, find other links and other resources to that educational piece, right? And I don't really think I've done a great job, if I'm being objective, over the years of like maintaining that and continuing to add to the education piece, especially on the main site, right? There's a lot of stuff, you know, within the forums, people will share links and those kind of things. But I think I need to make a concerted effort to kind of beef up that education piece on the site. Because again, science changes, things change, organizations change, you know, brands change. There's an entire class today of smokeless nicotine products that didn't even exist when I quit, right? The Zins of the world and Ons and Rogues and then vaping, like none of that stuff even existed. And you know, if you go through the halls of our Discord server today, a lot of people, that's what they're quitting. They're quitting Zyn. They're quitting vaping, right? And it's, which is a good thing in that, you know, if the mission of Kill the Can was to get people off smokeless tobacco, I think it's fair that we're, like, we've made a dent there. But I think there's probably less people that are using smokeless tobacco today than there was when you and I were using, right? But a lot of those people have shifted to these other products that, again, didn't exist back then.
So are you seeing what percent, I guess, has it increased of the vaping crowd that's now trying to quit on the forum?
It's tough to talk in percentages. I can tell you it is not an insignificant percentage. How about that? I don't know exactly what percentage right. It is, but there is quite a few people that are quitting other products. They're quitting vaping, they're quitting Zyn, those kind of products, versus back in the day it was just, you know, Copenhagen Kodiak, Redman, you know, those kind of things. And again, there's still a ton of those people, right? But again, I'm really seeing an uptick over the last 2 or 3 years of non-traditional smokeless tobacco products as well.
So obviously these companies that are creating these highly addictive smokeless, I guess, vaping products. I mean, these are the same companies, right? They just know.
Absolutely.
I mean, shocker, right? That they got to find something else to make their revenue.
Yep.
So I looked it up. I know one scientist at Altria averaged $154,000 a year.
Is that right?
Well, to do what? Yeah. Make crap as much addicting as possible.
Yeah. Well, there's, I mean, you know, I mean, think about the money that's, you know, I mean, a can of dip costs what these days? I don't even know. Right.
No,
I mean,
I don't even want to think about it.
You know, and I know Zyn and these products are not cheap, and I know vaping products are not cheap, and cigarettes, you know, I mean, back when I was never a big smoker, but like back when I, you know, you could buy a pack of cigarettes for, you know, $2. Right. I mean, now it's, I don't know, $7, $8, $10, you know, it depends on where you are. But, so yeah, I mean, it's big money. It's big money.
There you go. Well, all right. Well, any closing words, I guess, about Kill the Can? Is there one thing about the vaping crowd? Are you targeting the website, like in an SEO standpoint, of driving that traffic to Kill the Can?
I haven't made a concerted effort, but I will say you know if you go and you kind of read some of the stuff, you know. Back in the day, we created a sister site called Whack the Pack. And the idea was, you know, let's come up with another site for quitting smoking. And that has kind of, that is the site itself has gone away, but there's still a lot of that content around quitting smoking and those kind of stuff that you will find. And I think in my mind, the reality is we're addicted to the same drug. It's the nicotine, right? And so whether that's being delivered via a cigarette, a cigar, a vape, a Zyn, chew, dip, snuff, whatever it is, that's our battle, right? And where I've seen the difference, Travis, is in like on social media and in my feeds and on my mentions and those kind of things, I will get comments and trolls coming at me about how safe Zyn is, about why are you against, you know, this, and it doesn't feel organic. I don't want to put my conspiracy theory hat on, but it doesn't feel organic. It feels very much like the big tobaccos of the world have said, hey, ready, go after that organization, go after this guy because he's making content around being, you know, nicotine free. It just doesn't feel normal. And again, that's a relatively new thing. I do think there's value in some additional content around vaping and quitting vape and quitting Zyn and those kind of things. This has been an awesome conversation because I've got a bunch of to-dos here for the website that I think I need to make some changes for
That's
sure.
That's awesome. Yeah. I was at a health summit the other day and I was next to the help. It was like one of those kids drug-free zones, you know, schools I'm thinking, okay, I don't know, crack, hair. I don't know what drug she's talking about, but she was talking about vaping.
Okay.
That's what all this funding is for her program, drug-free school zones or whatever, was the vaping.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had no idea that it.
No, it's so massive. Yeah. It's massive. There is actually, I started watching it. There is a documentary on Netflix. I think it's called is it called Big Vape? Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's fascinating, but it's talking about effectively the rise and fall of Juul. It's called Big Vape, The Rise and Fall of Juul is on the Netflix. Name of it. It's on Netflix. Yeah. And I'm only about an hour into it, but it goes into kind of how that product started. It effectively started as a startup company in San Francisco, you know, with some big, you know, tech dollars behind it. It's fascinating. And I guess what it shows me is, regardless of how well we do in the fight against smokeless tobacco, big tobacco is just going to kind of change and morph into something else, whether it's a different smokeless product or a nicotine pouch or vape or what have you.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a quit smoking, but how ancient does that sound? I mean,
right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody knows smoking's bad for you, right? I mean, right. So yeah, who smokes anyway?
Right.
Well, Greg, I appreciate it.
Or absolutely.
Chewy, I should say. Chewy.
That's fine. Either one.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, thank you. And we'll catch you on the forum.
Awesome, man. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Join us again next time for another edition of the Kill the Can podcast.